from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Member all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, including Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys, coming up at 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Because it's 8 o'clock, and it's time for us on a Wednesday to go around the AFC North. And our first stop, Baltimore, and 105.7 The Fan's Bob Haney, who joins us from The Fan, where they take on Kansas City tomorrow night, 8:20 p.m. You can hear it right here on The Fan, your flagship home for the NFL, on Westwood One, 92.3 The Fan. Bob Haney, first, Lamar, he was asked if this was a revenge game. That was an AFC championship game they lost, not week one. Can this be considered a revenge game for the Ravens against the Chiefs?
Yeah, he kind of downplayed the revenge factor because he admitted that even if they win, it's not going to erase what happened to them in January. I think it's more of a revenge factor maybe for the fans, but I would think deep down inside within that locker room and on the sidelines, you know, there would be some measure of revenge, but not enough to take away the sting of what happened at home when the Ravens were favored, held Kansas City scoreless in the second half and still lost by 7 points.
What do we think the role for Derrick Henry will be in this offense?
He's going to be the featured back because since Lamar took over for the injured Joe Flacco middle of 2018, it's been Lamar and kind of a running back by committee. Now, Mark Ingram had a big year in 2019, but it's been Gus Edwards, Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill, the Melvin Gordons, and the Dalvin Cooks came through last year. I think for the first time since maybe Ingram 5 years ago, Henry's going to be the guy that gets the vast majority of the carries because right now they really don't even have a third running back. So it's going to be Henry Hill, Lamar, obviously, but Henry's going to be, you know, a 20 carry a game guy. The running backs combined for 6 carries in the AFC championship game. I'm guessing he'll have 6 in the first quarter tomorrow night.
What are we expecting in year 2 of Todd Monken's offense? Could it be too much Monken or not enough Monken?
I think it'll be the just right Monken because his task is to obviously take Lamar to another level, throwing the deep ball, get that accuracy more on point there, make Rashad Bateman more of a prominent part in this offense, and how to get Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews to coexist on the field at the same time. Because Andrews, as you all know, is an all-pro level performer, but Likely, when he took over for Andrews when he got hurt late last season, played like an all-pro. So there's a lot of weaponry there for Todd Monken to work with. Offensive line's a little shaky, though.
Yeah, every year, Bob, especially the good quarterbacks will talk about things that they are attempting to add to the game or how they can get even better. Heck, you even hear that from Patrick Mahomes. Anything from Lamar Jackson? Is he somebody that is accessible during the offseason?
Yeah, he does the workouts with a select few down in Florida. His media presence is pretty limited. He's not out there talking to anyone who will stick a microphone in front of him. But when he does his league-mandated media session, he said he lost weight because he wanted to be more elusive this season. He was sacked 37 times last year, and for maybe one of the great running quarterbacks of all time, that's something that's somewhat surprising. So the one thing he stressed, he lost the weight. He was questioned about it multiple times. He's coming in at like 205, that he wanted to be more elusive this season so he could outrun angles, because he was getting caught by safeties and linebackers a lot last season.
Who is the most important Baltimore Raven other than Lamar Jackson?
Oh, boy. let's go with – I want to pick a pass rusher or someone to step up on the offensive line that's not Linderbaum or Ronnie Stanley. So I'm going to say the most important Raven, as I'm thinking about it right now, and keep in mind I'm still a little groggy, is going to be Adafe Owe. Jadeveon Clowney took his 9.5 sacks, went to Carolina. So Adafe Owe is going to have to step up and provide a pass rush for a team that did lead the league in sacks last season. But that's one of the concerns, is where's the pass rush coming from? So Owe is going to have to provide that.
And that's what a team needs when they're trying to get a good culture going, is bringing in Jadeveon Clowney. Go ahead, Tone.
One final one, Bob, and we'll ask everybody this, because we yesterday made an announcement, the Browns did, that they have a new stadium sponsorship agreement. Do people call your stadium there in Baltimore the official name?
They call it the Bank, because it's M&T Bank Stadium, so shorten it to make it sound more hip, so it's the Bank. And even the players themselves call it that. So yeah, they don't go, we're at M&T Bank Stadium. The fans are like, well, when they're at the Bank this week. So the Bank is kind of the de facto official name.
So we have Huntington Bank Field now. We can't call it the Bank because you already took the Bank?
Yeah, I think we could probably copyright that if we wanted to.
Well,
it's a litigious society.
You know what? You stole our team, so we're stealing your name. How you like
Boom.
That?
Gone. Boom. We got
Fair
it.
Enough.
Boom.
Fair enough.
There you
it's
go.
All good.
Even trade. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. We now go to Cincinnati and Moeger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, because Oh, the big question is, what's Ja'Marr Chase going to do? Mo, what's Ja'Marr Chase going to do?
Sit out Sunday? Play? I don't know. No one knows. I mean, I'm not even sure Ja'Marr Chase himself knows. And anybody who speaks with any amount of certainty as to, you know, what they think Ja'Marr is going to do is making it up. I mean, that is what's so interesting about this. Ja'Marr has been very private about this. He has not talked to the media. He hasn't sent a ton of cryptic tweets. I guess if you back me in the corner and say pick one way or the other, you know, the Bengals do have a track record of letting things like this get down to the last minute and then ultimately getting the deal done. They famously re-signed AJ Green as he was literally walking to the bus, taking the team to the airport to go to Oakland for the season opener in 2025. They got the Joe Burrow deal done rather famously last year, and it was announced pretty much as the Lions and Chiefs were kicking off the season opener. And so there's some precedent for that. What there is no precedent for is the Bengals signing a player to a contract extension when he still has 2 years left on his current deal, if that player isn't a quarterback. And so this is going to come down to the last minute. Obviously, today is going to be telling, because the team practices today. If Ja'Marr Chase isn't there, it's certainly adds to the belief that he's not going to go on Sunday. We'll see. This has been a situation that took a turn last week. You know, he practiced a week ago Sunday and a week ago Monday. They had the day off on Tuesday, and then suddenly, after Zach Taylor, the coach, insisted he's going to practice and he's going to play, he suddenly doesn't show up to practice, at least, and hasn't since. So this has taken on a life of its own. And it, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens today and obviously what happens on Sunday.
I imagine a few years ago, Bengals are in the Super Bowl, Ja'Marr Chase approval rating with the fans, 100 out of 100. Where is it now?
I think it took a really hard pivot last week, because I kind of feel like... I feel like all along, most people looked at Ja'Marr and said, we get it. First of all, he's a very popular player. He's a very good player. And you always have fans that are going to take the side of any player in any standoff with Bengals ownership, which is still, I don't want to say it's largely unpopular, but, you know, there are a lot of scars from years and years and years of futility. And so I think a lot of people looked at the hold in and said, all right, Ja'Marr's got to do what Ja'Marr's got to do, but there's no way he's going to miss games. And then when he did what he did Wednesday, which was to really make his coach look bad. I mean, Jamar didn't just not come to practice or not practice on Wednesday. He didn't practice on Wednesday after his coach was emphatic the day before that not only is he going to practice, he is going to play. And so I think that really pivoted public opinion. I mean, I could tell you just from the tone of people calling my show, engaging social media and talking to folks, it really pivoted public opinion more toward the Bengals and understanding like, hey, look, he does have 2 years left on his deal. They do have a track record of getting these deals done. There's a reason they didn't pay Jamar Chase. They're going to, or didn't pay T. Higgins. They're going to get the Jamar Chase thing done. Go play this year, then go get your contract. And so I've noticed a lot of exasperation and exhaustion with Jamar that wasn't necessarily evident 10, 11 days ago.
Who is the second most important Cincinnati Bengal other than Joe Burrow? He's the first most important. Who's the second?
I'll say Von Bell, safety who was here in 2021 and 2022, got away in free agency last year. What happened? They were the worst team in the NFL in giving up explosive plays. They've got a very young secondary, but a secondary that I think has a lot of upside. I think the veteran presence of Bell is going to aid the communication. He's going to help bring some of those guys along. And look, they across the board have to be better on defense. They have to have a better pass rush. They've got to be better against the run. They were awful last season. They're probably still not going to be very good. What they have to be better at is giving up chunk plays. And so I think that the change they made at safety with Von Bell and Geno Stone is really the most important offseason development in terms of the nuts and bolts of the roster. But because of Von's familiarity with the defense, because of his leadership, because of his ability to just aid the communication back there, I'll say he's the most important player on defense and thus the second most important player on the team.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. We now go to Pittsburgh as they get set to take on the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta, 1 p.m. on Sunday. A reunion for Arthur Smith. Chris Muller, 93.7, the Fan in Pittsburgh, as people yell in the background.
Yeah, it's a bus stop morning, Ken. I'm a working father.
There are other adults there. There are other parents there at the bus stop. You're doing a hit with us.
There are no fewer than 10 other parents here, several children, and a bus barreling down the hill at all of us, uncontrollably.
All right, Chris.
A horror movie.
Chris, I want you to hold the phone out and ask everybody at the bus stop and say, Cleveland Radio Station wants to know, are the Steelers going to make the playoffs this year?
Are you kidding me? You actually want me to do this right now?
Don't do it.
Right
do
now
not
at the
do
bus
it.
Stop.
Don't do
right
it.
Right now.
Don't do it. No.
Are the Steelers going to make the playoffs this year? Cleveland wants to know.
Yes. Mixed review.
Wow.
Inexact science. Chris,
I wanted
your answer, though. You're the important one there. No offense to the other people.
You're just lucky that I turned it back to the AirPods before one unsuspecting parent uttered an obscenity. Hold on, Ken.
Fun.
I think they're going to go 9-8 or 10-7, and I think it's probably a no playoffs here if I had to guess.
Ooh.
Is there any drama in sports as great as a 7-year-old kid sprinting up the hill before the bus leaves? I mean, this is awesome stuff right now. They should put this on the combine.
It sets the entire tone for the movie Tommy Boy. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Russell Wilson named a team captain. Does he deserve it?
In the sense that you probably want your quarterback to be the team captain. Yeah, I think he does. I do think he did a good job. Like, those guys, it was just hard for them to rally behind Pickett last year because he was just so bad. And I think, like, he did a lot of the stuff you'd want a leader to do, but he didn't play well enough. I think Wilson did a good job, even with his reputation as being kind of an insincere player maybe at times. I think he did a good job of trying to, like, combat that reputation early when he got signed. Like, he was doing all the right stuff. He was throwing to guys. He was, you know, kissing babies, shaking hands, the same thing Sean Payton couldn't stand about him. But I do think in all of that, you know, taking all that into consideration, he did a good job with it. I really do. And so, Justin Fields, we know all those guys like Justin Fields the person, but Justin Fields ain't the starter, so he ain't the captain.
What do you make of the 3-year, $45 million deal signed by Cam Hayward?
It pretty much just locked in this year's money for him. And then, if anything, it strikes me, there's nothing guaranteed after the first year. So, to me, if anything, it's kind of a pay cut. He wants, at least from what he wanted. Like, he seemed to really want to get paid market setting money, and he's just at a tough position and at a tough age for anybody to be willing to commit that kind of financial outlay. So if anything, I would look at it as a pay cut for him. And I do wonder if there are any, you know, lingering raw feelings about that, because it got oddly contentious between a guy that's the Walter Payton Man of the Year and probably the most beloved player with the franchise of late, and a team that supposedly does right by all its players in this stuff.
What is he on the all-time? Where is he on the all-time Steelers list?
So, I mean, Rushmore has to be Joe Green, easy. Terry Bradshaw for me, easy. I would probably
Terry Bradshaw. Really, he's had a contentious relationship with the fan base there.
No, but if are you talking about performance, or are you talking about like total package? Because they patched it up with him, but the guy won 4 Super Bowls and always played his best in those games.
Okay, fair enough. Continue.
I can't put Watt on there. He hasn't won a single playoff game. I mean, this is one for me that's kind of a hipster pick, but I would put Franco on there, and then I'd put the hipster pick is Rod Woodson, who I think is, at worst, one of the 5 best cornerbacks ever to play the game.
Wow. Wow. Who is the second most important Pittsburgh Steeler?
Can I pick a coach or no? Like, is this player or is it organizational person? Because I would pick Arthur Smith.
What do you want
to... He has to get this offense going. And he has to get something that looks a little bit more creative than what they did last year. But if you'll force me to take a player, how about this one? Ken, you'll love this. And I think Tone will like it too, because you guys value line play.
I do.
How about Zach Frazier? How about a rookie center who's going to have to come in there, be making calls? He's not going to have the most veteran guy on that line next to him in Seumalo for the first several weeks. He's going to have to deal with some people. He's going to have to be doing a lot of work mentally and physically. So that's a lot to ask out of anybody that's a rookie. But a second-round pick to plug and play and hold his own for a town that loves centers and a team that loves centers, I think he's the second most important guy.
Chris, what do people there in Pittsburgh call the stadium?
Everyone calls it Heinz Field still. I mean, they don't. You want to actually happen to Heinz Field? So Aliquippa, I'm sure you guys know about Aliquippa High School football here. Probably
yeah.
The best pound for pound program in
Mike
the United
Ditka.
States.
And Daryl Revis. I mean, it's,
right. Sean Gilbert back in the day. Ty Law. Like, pound for pound, the best program, I would say, in high school football in the country. They're a 1A school that beats teams in 4A for state titles. Mm. They took the Heinz Field. They totally redid the field because it was a swap bucket. They made it like a field turf field and called it Heinz Field. And that's almost appropriate because that's a team that actually wins.
Whoa. It's not nice, Chris.
Oh, man.
Chris Muller, 93.7, the fan in Pittsburgh, throwing haymakers at his own communities.
I was also going to have him put the phone out there, extend his arms, and ask whether or not books should be banned in schools.
Is that really a question you wanted him to ask?
I did.
Okay.
Get a nice sampling.
That's nice.
Could that ever happen with somebody like Nick Chubb? Where, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, approval rating was 100 out of 100 his rookie year. They went to the Super Bowl, right? Is that his rookie year?
Yes.
And they go to the Super Bowl, and he looks like one of the biggest difference makers in the NFL at any position. And he's still really good, but he's battled injuries. Now it's time to get paid. He obviously wants to be the highest paid receiver in the league. He's talking about, I mean, he's not going to play this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they got a deal done maybe in the next few hours, maybe he could play.
Maybe. They're still installing today, right? It's Wednesday.
I know in San Francisco, was it San Francisco? There was somebody else who just signed, and they were like, he could be on a pitch count. Oh, no, CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, who we're going up against this week. They do think.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He'll play, but could he be on the pitch count because he wasn't necessarily there the whole time? Like, your approval rating does, no matter who you are, you always have a chance to have your approval rating in your city go down depending on certain factors.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm like, Nick Chubb, what could Nick Chubb do? I mean, I guess if Nick
unimaginable.
Chubb...
It's unimaginable. It would be against his...
Because you can't see him holding out.
Yeah, you can't see him doing any of those
now,
things.
Now, realistically, he should have held out last year.
So are you pointing out that if he holds out... Okay, well, let's go. Let's take it a step further, because I can't imagine him holding out. And they did, you know, they made some things work with him. What if worse comes to worse next year and Myles Garrett holds out?
And he would be the one that it would make sense.
Yeah. Daryl did say last week, and I know you weren't here, Daryl did say that Miles is going to want more money next season.
Makes sense, yeah.
That's from Daryl. That's a reporter. That's a person who talks to the people who are connected with that. He says that he's going to want more money. Okay, well, then we might get to a point where there's a holdout situation. If there's a holdout, would fans turn against Miles? Depends on how the team does this year.
I was going to say, does he have a great playoff game or a don't hear his name the entire playoff game?
Okay, well, you just always have to keep coming back to the Houston thing,
well,
don't you?
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
You always have to find a way.
You do know that if two straight years of that and they lose and the defense gets torched and Miles is a non-factor in the game, like, yeah, there will be some fans saying you can't be the highest paid.
Perfect segue. You guys are the ones that keep telling me he's the second most important Cleveland Brown.
He is.
So then I would turn, if he is the second most important Cleveland Brown, which I'm still struggling to come across the bow with you on, but go back. If he is the second most important Cleveland Brown, then I could turn right around and say, well, you weren't making the playoffs without Myles Garrett. If he's that important, then you ain't making the playoffs without Myles Garrett. He's very important. I don't know if you're going to make the playoffs without Myles Garrett. I don't think you would. So then, all right, well, I guess we need to sign him because the goal should be the playoffs.
Yeah, well, they definitely would have lost the Colts game without him, and he was so freaking dominant in that Bengals game to start out the year, the Tennessee game to start out. I mean, he was so good.
But there's no denying, and a lot of people want to deny it, that there has been a little bit of a scattershot relationship with Miles over the last eight seasons now. It's been a little bit here and there, hit or miss on a lot of things. And you remember a couple years ago, there were guys on this station, not you and I, there were guys on this station who bandied about whether or not Miles loved football, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Not this show, because it would seem like heresy now, but 2 years ago, a legitimate conversation was hatched by that. So then you would have that conversation coming back to fruition next year. So I could see a scenario, where fans turn on Miles for holding out. But the team has to be good. If the team's not good and he holds out, they're going to want to punish the Browns. And so they're going to support him in a holdout. This is very here and there. You know, they don't like Mike Brown down there because he's so tight with money in Cincinnati. They want to punish the Cincinnati Bengals until it's time to go out there and win football games. Now they're upset with Ja'Marr Chase. And until it's time to actually put up or shut up, people support the player until they get to the level where their happiness is affected. And without Ja'Marr Chase on the field, their happiness is bound to be affected. Now, I don't know if it's going to be affected this Sunday. They take on New England. New England's not that great of a team.
They're terrible, aren't they?
They're not very good. So is that happiness going to be affected? I'm not sure. I don't think so. But if they go out there and they lose, it could be a sloppy first game. If they go out there and they lose, there might be some people who are either A, calling up Mo in the afternoon on Monday and yelling that the Cincinnati Bengals need to stop bleeping around and sign this guy, Or B, they're mad at Ja'Marr Chase for holding out, that he still has another year before we have to go through any all this. So he should be playing football for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's going to be a mixed bag. But I can't, right now, off the top of my head, I can't name a Brown who I think would make it ugly. Watson already has his money, and that's a totally different set of circumstances. Miles would be looking for another one. I don't know how ugly it would get. I don't know how ugly they'd allow it to get. Maybe they would just take care of Miles and we wouldn't have to worry about
this.
Like,
maybe,
but they got Miles signed pretty quickly.
Maybe a few years ago I would have said Njoku, who did ask for a trade.
Twice. But do we love him enough to do that?
I think very quietly he's become a fan favorite.
But at the time, did we love him enough to make a stink?
At that time. No.
Exactly. So there were plenty of people there like, okay, he wants a trade, whatever. I think there were plenty of people like that. Kareem, I think it was a little bit different because he's from here. So I think they do like him a little bit more. Not more than David Njoku right now, but they liked him. So I think when that happened, it was like, hey, pay him, bring him back. Because there's still people who want Kareem Hunt to play for the Browns. I don't even think he was ever in an NFL camp this year.
What's the Elijah Moore situation? He's going to want to get paid after this year. He has to obviously perform.
Yeah, just let him go.
Yeah.
And eat that exchange of picks and hope that Cedric Tillman ends up being a good player, which Cedric Tillman had a very nice camp. So I can't foresee anybody having that type of intrigue to him. 216-474-0092. We asked Bob Haney about M&T Bank Stadium. They're changing the name of Brown Stadium to Huntington Bank Field. Fine. Some people were upset. I didn't understand it. I guess the city has to vote on it today.
I didn't realize that. Which is funny because they basically have the signage in place. Oh, and you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, signs are on the field.
You are not going to make a big public standing unless your T's are crossed and lowercase J's are dotted.
Or is it that the Browns just don't really think the city has much of a say on
More
this?
Than likely, no. So you're going to say something?
No, I just, the guy from Huntington yesterday said that the name travels with the team. So
there you go. Well, so depending on where they move,
so I saw people
whether it be Brook Park, maybe Burke's been bandied about again.
Yeah. I saw people getting irritated that it's a corporate sponsor. It's like, well, it's the year 2024. I mean, this is not something new. I mean, First Energy
Arrowhead Stadium has a sponsor now.
Yeah, that's right.
And
it's a GHA. I always want to say yeehaw.
I do too.
Well, but it's GHA.
I mean, Mile High for a year, and I know they redid Mile High, but it's still Mile High Stadium. But now it's Sports Authority Field or whatever it is
at
now.
Mile High.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I he wouldn't have done this, but what if Jimmy Haslam would have gotten on the mic and said, these are the type of deals that we strategically make to make sure that we can continue to have the highest paid roster in the NFL year after year. Would that change people's opinion?
Yes. Yes.
Now, I know they'd say, well, you have the money. We know how much money you have. We know on every Forbes list.
And he might turn around and go, how do you know? How do you think I have all this money making deals like this? It's a circular conversation.
Yeah. But I told you,
you didn't care about the stadium name being changed.
Right.
Well, I didn't care about the stadium name being changed either.
I have to be fair. Now, I didn't work for the Browns. I was not on the Browns radio network. So
taking shots at me while I'm sitting right here in front of you. Okay, here we are.
What I mean is, when I refer to the Browns stadium, I never said First Energy. I never said, you guys going down to First Energy today? Never said it. Never, ever said it.
I always called it the stadium.
It was always Brown Stadium.
In casual conversation, I just called it the stadium. In our lives here, it's like, this is Huntington Bank Field. I'll probably just still call it the stadium in casual conversation.
Now, with that said, over time, it's become, for me, Progressive Field. I do call it Progressive Field. So some stuff sticks, some stuff doesn't. You heard Chris Muller in Pittsburgh say Tynes. Everybody calls it Heinz. Like, can you imagine if you paid all that money to change the marketing, change the branding, and every single fan still calls it Heinz?
An overnight thing.
Right. Right. I mean, so, will they call it Heinz in 10 years?
I got out of the car, in the car yesterday with my 10-year-old, and he heard, the 2020 that said they've renamed it Huntington Bank Field. And he goes, they moved? No, it's the same place. And I go, where do the Cavs play basketball? And he goes, at the Q. He doesn't call it Rocket Mortgage Field House yet. I mean,
yeah, I have friends that still call it the Q.
Yeah.
But then they'll correct themselves.
If you're 50, right?
I will correct myself. I don't know anybody.
I don't
hear
anybody calls it the Gun anymore.
No. And that's originally the I remember I had to get used to the nickname the Q from the Gun. And then the Q just became synonymous with the building, and now it's Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and it's just a word salad to say.
A lot of words.
Yeah, it's a lot of words to say. So people want something short. That's why the Jake works so well. Yeah. Which the Jake to a lot of people is still, they call it the Jake. That's what they're going to call it.
You can just call it the bank.
But the other places, I don't know, it doesn't seem as special. Like that stadium, there's a lot of bad seasons, a lot of bad memories there. There's been some really nice memories in there, but the bad memories outweigh the good memories. I really don't care about the name on the side of the building. It doesn't affect me. I don't get upset about it. With the Cavs, it just feels like everything is named. I have no problem with them naming it Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I have no problem with naming it Bob's Discount Dumpsters Fieldhouse or something like that. It doesn't bother me. It just doesn't.
Well, dumpsters in there.
The one you asked
Duke
me
the
about.
The Dumpster Drosy Fieldhouse.
You asked me yesterday, well, what about the horseshoe? We've heard a lot of rumors that they're going to try to maximize that and call it the shoe.
By the way, around the room real quick. Miami Hurricanes, back or not back? Owen?
Not back.
Lima?
Backish.
Mitch?
More back.
More back. Mm-hmm. Back or not back? Around
more back
the
than
room.
Back, more back than backish.
Owen?
Not back.
Jack Jamont.
Owen. That's what I was trying to do. Lima? Dr. Mundo.
Not officially back yet.
Mitch.
I'll say they're back.
Wrong. They're not back. In fact, Florida is just a terrible team that has given up on Billy Napier.
That's true.
Question the second. Does Billy Napier look like a guy who laughs like this? Anthony Lima.
Yes. What?
Owen.
Ooh. Chronic laugher.
Mitch.
He does.
Wrong. He laughs with a ha. Of course, there's nothing much to laugh about right now with Florida football. You said the horseshoe is going to have a name?
Yes.
I think you're crazy.
It seems like...
Wrong!
It seems like Mr. Bjork has already sounded the alarms that a new sponsorship agreement to bring in more money is coming to a horseshoe near
you. I'm not even an Ohio State fan, and I think that that's asinine. And we had Ross Bjork on, and I know he did that on purpose. He's not going to say anything that he's not going to mean, and he floated that out there on this show on purpose to see if there would be some people who would be behind it. That is on the National Register of Historic Places. You just can't call it Safe Light Stadium.
Right. Now it's called Ohio Stadium. That is the...
Presented by Safe Light. Could they do that? I just see Safe Light all over the place. Just, nothing against the fine folks at Safe Light Repair, Safe Light
Replace. I assumed it, after listening to the latest Kroger earnings call, as you know I like to, Kenny, I assumed it was going to be Kroger Stadium. But either way, it's coming.
Listen to this
guy.
Not blowing past it now. You are power ranking your top three names for the new horseshoe.
I want his top three stocks. Ooh. That's good stuff.
That is good.
Sitting on the earnings call.
Well, I sit on those because I want to see how they're dealing with inflation and price gouging.
Okay.
So, Kenny, what I want the names to be?
Yeah. List your companies.
Well, it can't be Schottenstein. That's already used. Can't
Why
be
not?
Value City. That's already used.
Name it Value City.
It can't be Huntington. They've got, isn't that the baseball
yes,
field down there?
Field.
Is Huntington?
Name not everything. Huntington Bakefield.
Name everything Huntington.
Nationwide already in use. It's going to be Kroger.
The football stadium in Minnesota is named that.
I know.
I don't think it's a good idea. It's a university. Again, Brown Stadium, I know it's a public facility. But it's the history is just not there, guys. I got no problem with naming a professional sports leagues team stadium something different here. This is Ohio Stadium. I mean, do I really need to plead my case here that there's some things that should just be left alone? I know Madison Square Garden. Isn't Madison Square Garden presented by, like, Citibank or something?
Chase is everywhere.
Chase. Like, they might have it there. But my God, if you wanted to do Ohio Stadium presented by Montgomery Ward or whatever, I'm just naming defunct companies. Fine, go right on ahead. But man,
I think what we're trying to detail is just how much bang for your buck are you getting? So if you change Ohio Stadium is this, but everybody calls it the shoe, right? Everybody that goes to a game calls it the shoe. No matter what you sponsor it, nobody is going to call it anything other than the shoe. So how much are you getting out of that deal if you're one of these big companies?
Well, and you brought up, Anthony, the money that is made by the team to do this. So if you're a fan of the Browns and the Buckeyes and you had to pick one, wouldn't you pick Ohio Stadium over the Browns Stadium just for the
for
revenue
more
purposes?
Money. Yeah,
right?
if they said,
because
hey.
Because there is a cap in the NFL and you know you have a billionaire owner. And in college football, in the arms race that is, you know, name, image, likeness. Well,
yeah, and plus it's one of the most recognizable stadiums in sports.
You've already got a $20 million bill there. We're going to need to pay that again.
But it's still, it is still crazy. Guys, it is still crazy to put a name on a stadium that is registered with a National Historic Register process. Like that is wrong to do. I don't think it should be done. I don't think they can name a lot of other things. They can name it whatever field they want. They can present the benches of whatever they want. They can say it's presented by something, because that doesn't mean anything. You can't change the name of the stadium to represent a brand.
I've got your compromise.
What?
The National Historical Society presents Ohio Stadium.
Yeah, but they got to fork over the money.
Oh.
You nonprofit,
you. They just pay it in plaques.
Well, there's a lot of money in nonprofit. I see the way they live down the street.
Can't let that one go.
Yeah, you got to do it. Go ahead.
Reckless speculation.
I guess
one of these days I'm going to start talking like this.
I guess all that is to say, Kenny, is that I've become so numb to naming rights deals that I'm assuming it's going to happen for the horseshoe, but nobody's going to call it that. It'll be annoying to see that logo, whatever that logo is, of whatever company it is.
I think the blowback would be too much. I think that to put that brand there, I don't think it'd be bad for business ultimately, I just wouldn't want that connected to my company. I think it'd be a terrible idea.
They spent 21 plus million this year on the roster. It's speculated. If all of a sudden they say, with this new naming rights deal, we can spend 26. We can get you another receiver and another pass rusher.
I would sit there and tell them about Florida State and say, be careful what you wish for, because you can spend all the money in your world in the transfer portal. Doesn't mean you're going to bring you wins. You still need to recruit them and still need to have your base. That's what I would do. Now, it's been two games for Florida State. That's an easy thing for me to do.
I mean,
of course it is. Of course it is. But I don't think just money is just going to buy you wins overall. Now, you're going to have great players. You are definitely going to have great players, but you've had great teams before. You should have beat Georgia a couple years ago.
What if they lose to Michigan again, and then they say, hey, Mike Vrabel drives very hard bargain.
Oh, my God.
We're going to need another $4 million from Big Lots.
216-474-0092.
That buyout for Day.
You can
cheat.
You can sponsor a bunch of other things.
See, Ryan Day, you lost to Michigan three times, and now we got a damn logo on the stadium your buyout.
Ollie's is there right on the stadium.
You want to beat Michigan so bad, you're willing to put Montgomery Ward on the side of the stadium. On that historic building, you're willing to do that. You're willing to put Higbee's on the side of the stadium.
There's a lot of people that are willing to do that.
Come on. All right, John and Elyria, do you want to beat Michigan so bad you're willing to rename Ohio Stadium?
Why don't we just name it the Horseshoe Casino?
I didn't ask that question, John. John, do you want to beat Michigan so bad that you're willing to rename Ohio Stadium?
Go Blue.
Joe in Walton Hills, are you willing to beat Michigan so bad that you're willing to rename the stadium?
Hey, Ken, everything has a price, right?
Not everybody's got to pay.
Name it DiBiase Stadium.
And let's not talk about Ted DiBiase in the state of Mississippi right now.
I actually called, guys. I want to share my nickname for the new Browns stadium. I'm just going to call it the Hub.
We're moving on.
I guess not.
Mitch, please, at 940.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.